Democrat of the day, we head up to 8B, actually the new 8B, because the old 8B was Mary Franson's seat. And I was like, what? No, 8B now is basically East Duluth running up the North Shore. Eric Forsman is kind enough to join us right now. He is the Democrat who is running for that seat and kind enough to talk about his campaign. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for the time. And by the way, I love your town. I do love going up there. I hope you guys didn't get too much snow this last time around.
Yeah, it's easy to love Duluth, and appreciate you having me today. It has not been a typical April, and we're just trying to get to the beautiful summer that everybody wants to come north for, and we're looking forward to that whenever it gets here.
Talk a little bit about your background first. Who exactly is Eric Forsman?
Yeah, great question. So, Matt, I moved to Duluth in 2006. I came to the University of Minnesota Duluth, go Bulldogs, big hockey fan. But my wife, Jessica, and I fell in love with this city like so many do who come in and visit, and we stayed here. So we've been here for about 16, 17 years now. I'm the current president of the Duluth City Council. I've been serving on the council since 2018, and I also work in economic development throughout really what is the 8th Congressional District, and am excited to be able to bring some of my experience and talents to the legislature next year, hopefully.
You'll be very happy to know my oldest daughter is actually her number one choice right now as UMD.
Well, let me know what I need to do to close that deal. We want her up here.
Well, it's a great...
We need more good students and young professionals in Duluth, that's for sure.
It's a great school. It is a great town. Let's talk about, okay, so you moved there. What prompted you eventually to move work on city council, get involved there?
Yeah, so I have always had a passion for service. I grew up on the Iron Range, Matt, and you know, I grew up in a town that, quite frankly, had seen its best days, and that's how the people felt. And it's gotten better since then, but that always instilled a passion for service within my heart. So when I got to town, I started to make connections and just started doing a lot of volunteering. So I've served on over 15 boards and commissions, task forces, you pretty much name it. I have a board addiction here in town, but it's really given me a great lens into what the community's needs are and just given me a chance to connect with all of the amazing people who are doing terrific things within our community. And then eventually, when an opening came about on the city council, one of the city councilors who stepped down asked me to apply for that seat, and I said no. And here we are 4 years later, and now I'm the council president. She got me to change my mind.
Well, and I love that path, and I've talked about this too. I was on planning and zoning in Hopkins, the city of Hopkins, and you get involved. It is a fantastic way to get your toes into a little bit of local politics and helping out, because you deal with its parks, your water board, whatever it can be, school boards. You get involved in these things, and it gives you a good view of it. And like yourself, there are some people that get there and realize, okay, this is good. I want to do this more often, and it's a great way to find out if you've got the heart for politics, which clearly you do.
Yeah, you're right. I think local elected officials end up dealing with the problems that either fall through the cracks that aren't getting addressed by the state or the federal levels. And they also just deal with the day-to-day stuff that people really care about. They want to have good roads. They want to have infrastructure that works. They want to have great schools. But things like some of the issues we're struggling with right now around making sure our homeless populations are taken care of, those things fall through, and the city and the county and the school districts have to step up and solve those. So I think that's a great perspective, and I'm really supportive of whenever somebody who is an elected official at the local level decides that they want to look at another ground up.
So were you making the plans to run for this seat prior to the redistricting, or was it something about the redistricting you said, you know what, I want to represent that area?
Yeah, no, actually, it was a huge surprise. So Representative Jen Schultz, who has served us for 8 years in East Duluth, it was a surprise that she didn't decide to seek reelection. As you likely know, she is running now to challenge Pete Stauber for the 8th Congressional District, which is very exciting. But we were all kind of caught off guard. And so that was something where I had to talk with my family and my supporters to see, is that something that they think I should do and aspire to? And it certainly wasn't in the goal plan for this year, but I just think I've got a skill set that really would be beneficial and am excited to be moving forward in the election this year.
And we should describe them, I mean, because all these are brand new districts. I think I kind of tagged it there. It's the east side of Duluth as you run up the North Shore, correct?
Correct. And it's not Alexandria, because I put that I was running for 8B, and I had a bunch of people email me like, are you moving? I said, no, it's just redistricting. So it's the eastern tip of Duluth up until you get about to St. Luke's Hospital.
So let's talk a little bit about what you, what you'd want to accomplish. You get to St. Paul. What do you want to help out with in 8B?
Yeah, so there's a lot of needs, and I see a lot of needs as a city councilor. But actually, my number one priority is education. My wife is a high school counselor here in town. It's never, from what I've heard from her and the teacher she works with, they've never seen as many needs in the classroom right now. And I know I've seen the Great Education Minnesota tweets about how much money the House and Senate proposals are going to give to our schools, and it's a big fat zero from the Senate right now. But truthfully, I mean, there are so many needs that these kids have right now coming out of COVID. And so anything I can do to provide more mental health resources, especially, and more counselors, more psychologists, all those things. But we have to be able to find a path forward to get those things done. But education's my top one. The other thing I hear a lot about, especially as a counselor, is access to things like affordable housing. As you know, the real estate prices are just out of control right now across the state. And the rents that we're seeing go up are just right there with them. So access to more affordable housing, which comes through state and federal funding primarily, access to better quality health care. Child care has been a big one for me. That's another barrier to growth that we're experiencing, and something that I've really devoted a lot of time and energy to. And then I can't leave climate change out of the equation, because we just have to keep making progress there. But I'm somebody who I've worked on everything from the Memorial Day parade to pretty much you name it here in town, whether it's Spirit Mountain or other issues. So I like to get involved and put my fingerprints on everything I can, quite frankly.
Down here in the Twin Cities, if you don't mind me touching a little bit more on the housing issue up there, because we do get, we get the story here, but we always get a very Twin Cities centric version of it. Talk a little bit about that up in Duluth, because I'm, you know, it is something that everywhere right now, the housing market, there's just not a lot of inventory, prices are going up, and there's just not a lot of opportunity anywhere.
Yeah, I was just in the cities visiting a friend of mine who's going through the miserable experience of trying to buy a house. And these are people that have good jobs, no kids, and have the time to go try to tour and do the whole offer song and dance, and they can't even get something. Well, it's the same here. We have the same market in Duluth. It's people are offering tens of thousands of dollars above asking price, no inspection, sight unseen. And then those are folks who have the means to be able to look and buy their first home or their second home. So somebody who's trying to rent and just trying to get by, what we've been doing is trying to put as much of the federal resources that we've been getting as a city toward development of new housing. But that takes years to come online. So we put 19 out of the $58 million that the federal government gave us here in Duluth to build more affordable housing. We're going to build 400 units, but it's probably going to take 2 or 3 years for that to happen. So folks are just really having a hard time all across the board, from folks who have the ability to buy a house to those just trying to get by and find a decent place to rent.
And I know that Duluth is actually one of the hotter markets right now. A lot of people wanting to move into Duluth, and that doesn't help either. I mean, it's a great problem to have. A lot of people want to move into your town, but once again, it compounds the problem.
Yeah, that's right, because I think COVID changed the game. I think a lot of folks are saying, well, hey, if I can take my job with me, or maybe I can work a couple of days a week from the office, why wouldn't I want to live in Duluth? Which is great, but we also have to have the housing and the childcare to support that, and those are tricky issues right now, but we've been getting after it.
Two of your endorsements, the DFL Veterans Caucus, also the Native Peoples Caucus of the Minnesota DFL. Let's start with Native issues. Obviously, and I'm going to repeat a line from Native Roots Radio, which is on the show on after me. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I think it's a great line. Talk a little bit about addressing the needs of the Native American community.
Yeah, it's been something that I've really had a pleasure to work on here in town. And actually, our past council president, Renee Van Nett, is the first Indigenous counselor in the city of Duluth history. And one of the things that we worked on together was recognizing some of the tragic history that the state has around boarding schools and bringing some attention to that over the past year. I've had a chance to get to know our folks in town who are of Native American heritage and some of the issues that are challenging them. I've also been it's been my honor to get to know some of the things that our tribal nations are working on. And as a state legislator, I would really look forward to being able to partner with them on all sorts of issues down at the state capitol that affect them.
I'm a veteran, U.S. Army. You know, I know. It was the U.S. Army to talk about. Obviously, veterans' issues. I mean, it's not something that's getting a lot of spotlight right now. So I'll let you have a spotlight. What are some of the veterans' issues that you're concerning yourself with right now?
Yeah, no, I'm not a veteran, so thank you for your service. But thank you. There's a couple of localized things here in town that I wanted to touch on. We've got our 148th Fighter Wing here in town. It's well known, it's well respected. Right now there's some state funding that we're trying to get after to really secure the future of that facility as the federal government looks at their decisions for where they're going to make investments or where they're going to not make investments into the future. We have 300 airmen and women who are deployed overseas right now, and so we've been working to advocate for them and make sure that we keep our eighth largest employer. They have over 1,100 jobs up at the base. But beyond that, this is a tough time to be a veteran. We've got a lot of mental health challenges. The local veterans here in town tell me about how events like what's happening in Ukraine or even what happened in Afghanistan last year are triggering. And it brings up some of the PTSD issues that we haven't done enough to get after. There's an issue with a veterans home in the cities that is in need of repair that I think the bonding bill could help address. But really just being able to partner with them and also as a Democrat, show appreciation for our veterans community, especially after what we've seen with the National Guard being activated these last couple of years more than ever before, and make sure that we are a party that we're right on the issues. I think we're providing the help that they need, but let's also just make sure that we're showing our appreciation too.
Looking at your district, it's hard to not notice the large body of water that you have next to it. Let's talk about, you brought up environmental issues. Let's talk about clean water, because obviously we've gone through the time in my life. We had problems with pollution. They cleaned it up. But now we have a Republican Party that seems to be very intent on polluting things again. Let's talk about keeping Lake Superior and northern Minnesotans' waters clean.
Yeah, Lake Superior is a treasure. And there's a lot of things we can do. One of the topics actually that we've been trying to address recently is some of the lead pipe issues that we have in town, which is not just an issue for Lake Superior, but it's an issue for human health. We've got an older city that's 26 miles long and 5 miles wide. So there's a lot of things like that we are trying to address. We've put some of our federal resources toward that. There's been a lot of effort over the past couple of decades to clean up the St. Louis River, which feeds into Lake Superior.
Yeah.
And then we've got our friends on Park Point. If you're familiar, once you get past the lift bridge and you go down to Park Point in Duluth, who have been dealing with a lot of erosion challenges over the last couple of years. And that could be based on climate change. That could be based on some other factors, too. But there's some real concern about what that's going to entail for them into the future. And so all of those things are important for us to prioritize and address and also work with, not just our state government, but the governments throughout the Great Lakes to make sure that our lakes are staying clean and healthy.
My grandparents used to live out there on that spit of land, and it's kind of one of those things where it seemed to be, you know, we went through a lot. I mean, it's funny, you go back and you look at old photos of that area where it was basically wetlands and stuff, and we cleaned that up, but yet we still have that erosion problem. And when you try to tell people, oh, we have erosion problems on a lake, That for some reason, you know, it's like with everything with a lot of Republicans, they kind of just roll their eyes about environmental issues because they just don't see it unless it affects their own property. And that's something you've really got, not just there, the entire lakefront there, you know, that's a big lake that does some damage when it gets angry. So you got to make sure you manage that correctly.
Yeah, I took some heat when I said that climate change was a city council issue when I ran. And over the last couple of years, all we've seen have been issues around erosion around our lakefront, and to the point where it's threatening people's property, it's threatening people's homes, and we can't bury our head in the sand that's disappearing and not do something about it. So I think that the city was one of the first to declare a climate emergency as a municipality, and I was proud to be a co-sponsor on that. But really, we just have to continue to do more because the problem's not going to get any better. We have to put resources into it.
This is the easy part here because I can tell everyone that's listening right now, we need volunteers and donations to go up and help Eric up in Duluth. And here's the greatest part. If you go for a weekend of door knocking this summer, you're in Duluth. It's a lovely city. You can go door knocking for a few hours, go have some fun in town. That's absolutely the way to do it. Donations, volunteers needed throughout the entire election season. Eric, if people want to find out more information about your campaign and find out how they can volunteer or donate, how do they do that?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So it's an easy address, but I'm going to spell it because my name isn't so easy to spell. So it's ericforsman.com, but it's ARIKFORSMAN. So we would love to have you. I would love to host you for a door knock this summer. One of my, you know, my campaign treasurer happens to be the owner of one of our fine brewing establishments here in the city. And we'd be happy to go stop by afterward if you want to come up and enjoy it.
That sounds fantastic. I'll link to all this a little bit later on. Congratulations on the decision to run. I think that you'll do a lot of good there in Duluth in 8B. So hopefully we'll see you in St. Paul. Eric Forsman, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Matt, it was a pleasure. I appreciate it.